heart. Thank you, Jordan. Thank you, Mindy. Wow, what a talent. I wish I could play an instrument like that. But I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad that you are here today. We have survived another day, another week. Now, I knew that California needed rain, but I didn't know that it needed that bad. But I'm thankful that all of you are well and good, that nobody got injured on Thursday, hopefully. And we're just grateful that you are here today. Yes, anyway, here we go. And so this week has been a special week. It has been a long week. Many things happened. And something that I have been sharing with our pathfinders and students at EAA is a couple characters from the Bible that were very faithful. And with the pathfinders, I have shared the story of whom? Pathfinders are here? Not David. The story of David. And what is special about David is that David killed Goliath. But how was he able to kill Goliath? Well, David had faith beyond of what a regular person back then had. He just trusted in God. And then at EAA, I was sharing with the students about a man named Moses. And Moses literally took the Israelites out of Egypt, next to the, all the way to the Red Sea. And what happened there? The Egyptians came after them, and because of Moses' faith, God did what? He opened up the sea. So I'm looking at those Bible characters, and I'm trying to see how are they different from me. What's the difference between them and I? And I look at my life story, and when I was a little boy, I was growing up. I didn't think I was really special. I thought I was just a regular boy who wanted to be accepted, loved, that people would like me being around them. But I remember when I was in Moscow, Russia, and I went to one of the prestigious schools. You have to come to school like this, suit and tie. Everything had to be spotless. You had to have change of shoes so that you don't bring the dirt into the school. And when you sit in classrooms, when teacher walks in, you have to stand up as a respect. But something I never forgot is that there were two boys that did not treat me nicely. And this one guy would make fun of me. And what I have noticed when I look back is that there was another guy who started laughing when the other guy was making fun of me. So I believe this guy was making fun of me because he enjoyed the other guy laughing. And so it was more like, hey, I'm making somebody laugh. I like that. So it was more about, you know, just satisfaction that those guys have experienced. But I also remember when it came time to play soccer in high school, I would go out there, and I loved playing it back there. And this same guy would want me to be on his team. I'm like, okay, how does that work? But when I found things that I have enjoyed doing, like playing soccer or singing in music, I felt something that I was worth something. But I also think that it was a privilege to me to be born and be raised in a Christian family. And the reason why, because I would always hear my parents cheering me up, telling me things of encouragement, things that most of the people in this world don't get to hear. So I feel like it's like an advantage of somebody who was born and raised in a Christian home to hear the name of Jesus. So to whom am I listening to? And it's interesting because I have realized the older I got and I will be getting, I'm realizing how much the people around me influence me and what I do. And I thought to myself, but why is that? Well, because we see people, we hear people, and we can touch them. And I think that is where God is able to use us in a special way that the angels cannot help us. And for me, I'm seeing that whichever voices I would listen to is who eventually I'm going to become. So, to whom am I listening to? And I want to take us to a story in the Bible. A story that is found in Luke chapter 10, so I would invite you to open that with me. It's the story of a parable of a good Samaritan. And lately I have been studying, I've been reading Desire of Ages. And I love that book. There's something about that book that I cannot hurry myself just read it through. You have to take your time. I will read a sentence, and I'll be like, wow, I have to underline that. Okay, I'm done. Next sentence. Oh, I have to underline that too. Next thing, my entire book is underlined. But in Desire of Ages, when we look at this parable, is Jesus speaking the parable that was started with a question. So let's go to the verse 25. And it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Well, if we know the background of this person who is asking, it's actually priests and Pharisees would send him as a spy or somebody who would trick Jesus in a question that Jesus would answer wrong or they would trap him. Verse 26, he said to him, "What is written in the law?" What is written in the law? He's asking him, "What is your reading of it?" So he flips it all around. So now he has to answer, what do you think? Verse 27, so he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." So this man is persisting now, but he wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" And now, in verses 29 through 37, we will see three men and the difference between all of them. Who was the first man? The priest. So the priest, you would think the priest would be a teacher, an example, someone who people would follow after. What does the priest do? So the man has fallen, beaten, stuff was stolen from him. Here comes the priest. Ooh. What in his mind is that, is this man a Jew? Because if he's not, we can't help. So first thing in his mind is it has to be a Jew for me to help that person. And what does he do? He keeps walking. Like, I don't have time right now. Ooh, this is awkward. I don't want to be a part of this. I'm actually busy. I'm running somewhere. And in Desire of Ages, Ellen G. White actually says that this man and the Levite was in the crowd as Jesus was saying this parable. Imagine that. The Levite comes next. He does this exact same thing. He keeps looking at it, like, no, I gotta go. But honestly, we make room for something we value, something that we cherish. If there is no room for helping a person who is down, it makes it difficult for Jesus to come in. But there's a third man. And who is the third man? It's a Samaritan out of all the people. Samaritans and Jews do not click together, especially in their time and a place. But the first thing that Samaritan is noticing, there's a man in need. He didn't look at him if he was Jewish, Samaritan, American, Russian. He didn't look at that. What he looked at is that if that was me, I would want somebody to come and help me. And then it happens. Jesus says in verse 37, and he said, he who showed mercy on him, then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So why is it important? Why is it important for us to help somebody who is in need? What makes me different from those people? And when I read the Bible, when I read all the stories in the Bible, in fact, I put myself in the place of a good person. I put myself in the place of a good Samaritan. Well, because nobody wants to be a bad guy. Right? I don't want to be a bad guy. But at times I catch myself, if I'm hungry or if I'm tired, saying something to somebody that I shouldn't, or treated somebody unfairly, and I catch myself. A good thing that we can catch ourselves. And so in this situation, the Samaritan took care of of the person who was in need. And so while I was reading Desire of Ages chapter 70, something just got my attention in that chapter. I want to share that with you. It says, while you were partying with your beautiful table setting, I was starving in the shack. While you were relaxing in your elegant home, I was homeless on the street. While you were choosing your entertainment for the evening, I was wasting away in prison. When you did give a little money or a few morsels of food to the hungry, when you did donate a worn-out coat or blanket to the homeless, did you remember that you were giving those things to me, the King of Heaven? Every day of your life, I was near you in the person of this needy ones. But you did not look for me. You refused to have any relationship with me. And here's where I imagine Jesus saying, with probably a tear in his eye, so I don't know you. And the reason why I imagine him that, because he loves us so very much. And his goal is to win our hearts. What is beautiful about Jesus, he will never make you follow him. He will never make you do what he's teaching. But he wants to win your heart. He wants you on his side. Whenever you helped any of my people here, even the weakest or the poorest, you helped me. We can see Jesus in the faces of each of his children who suffers. And as we help them, it is like helping Jesus personally. And I love this, because at times I look for Jesus in this big ministry settings, somewhere on a podium or somewhere where people can notice me as being a good person. But what I'm hearing here is that Jesus says, if you help the least of this, it's like you are helping me. He loves every individual so much that when we treat others poorly, it hurts him just as much, if not even more. When Jesus came to die for you and I on the cross, he died just for you. And so your neighbor is the person Jesus died for. God doesn't have a hierarchy of people who is more valuable. He looks at everybody as you are a human being, and I love you. And he is not going to give up on us. And if he had to die on the cross over and over and over again, he will do it. And so, how many times do we value people who can do something for us? Physically, emotionally, or financially? We favor those people who do something for us. But we don't favor those people who do nothing for us. When we look at James chapter 1, verse 27, Jesus is asking us to go spend time with the widow and the poor. Basically, what he's saying, go spend time with those who've done nothing to you. Those who have given you nothing. Why is there such an emphasis? Well, because that is the exactly thing what God has done for you. I am that person who did nothing to Jesus. I'm that person who was stuck, laying on the ground, beaten, and all my stuff has been stolen. And my Jesus, who stepped down from his throne to carry my cross and die for me. And I'm going to take it a step even further. While we were putting Jesus on the cross, he still died for me. And this is what blows my mind, is that the very first people after Jesus' resurrection that got an opportunity to be forgiven, it was the same people who put Jesus on that cross. Before the mission and before the message went out into the world, it all started in Jerusalem. That is where the ministry started. And the people who crucified Jesus, they had the first chance to repent. And in fact, some of them people did. The people who shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Jesus forgave even those people. And so, not there yet. Not there yet. And so this week, I saw some living sermons in this congregation. I saw some living sermons. Last week, when I have received a text, many of us received a text from Brother Troy. It's like, "Hey, Brother Isaac needs help at the house. Is anybody willing to come and help?" And here everybody just jumped in. We all went to Isaac's house. We loaded the van, Anatole's van, and we just moved it to the place, a couple trips. Done. It was just like that. I saw Jesus in you this week. I saw Jesus when somebody broke into the church this week, into the door, and then we start texting, "What's going to happen?" People came together, fixed the door, did things that they were supposed to do. When the rain came on Thursday, now the text, Brother Curtis shared with us, "This is happening, brothers, what can we do?" People jumped in. They dug a hole so that water wouldn't come in the church. We're this close in inches, the water coming inside the church. But they were able to fix that. And so this week, I saw Jesus in you and many others in this church. And Jesus says, those who do good things in silence, they will be rewarded. Not in this world. Even though in this world he does bless us, but he will reward so much more. And so it is important that we have people next to us who would encourage us, who would want us to stay on the path where we can be an example for other people, when we can treat people in the little things. It doesn't have to be grand, but it's just regular things. And if you look at the picture, when I just have arrived at Fallbrook and the Adventist Church, all three of us pastors, we took a trip to the ocean near San Diego, I believe. And it was beautiful because all we did, we took our time together. We prayed. We asked God to lead us in our lives. And Pastor Sam, it's been only 6 months with you here, but you are a living sermon. And you have been in this church for 10 and a half years. And I'm thankful, and I know the church is thankful for what you've done here. And as we encourage one another moving forward in lives, let us remember that you and I are a living sermon. And when we read our scripture reading that is found in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So remember that you are a living sermon. And God lives in your hearts. And the way we treat those who are next to us is how we would treat people. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are just human beings who are broken, who are in need of a Savior. God, we need you in our lives. We pray that you remind us how there are so many people out there that need our encouragement, that need to see Jesus, and you want to show Jesus through us, through a simple smile, through a simple act of kindness. We thank you for being such a good God to us. And we pray as we continue on through this day and the rest of the week that you help us and our families to prepare for the times that are not going to be easy. But God, you're with us always to the end of the age. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of lords. He is the King of glory. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.